travel somewhere new, a place to slow down, to breathe, and to gently let go of the day. There is nothing you need to do, nowhere you need to be. Just listen and allow yourself to drift. Tonight, you are going somewhere flat. That is the first thing to know about tonight's journey. The land is flat, wide and open and gently breathing, the kind of landscape that invites you to look at the sky rather than at anything that rises above your eyeline, because very little rises above your eyeline here, just trees, just the long, low ridgeline of pine forest on the horizon, just the occasional church spire visible from a long way off across the open farmland. A thin vertical line against the blue. You are in the Kempen, the great sandy plateau that stretches across northern Belgium and into the southern Netherlands, a landscape of pine forest and heathland and farmland and long straight paths that were made for exactly what you are about to do. You are going to cycle on a Sunday morning in the sun. Inside the forest, Center Parcs Erpeheide is set deep in the Belgian Kempen forest in the province of Limburg, near the small town of Peer. And when you step outside in the morning, the first thing you notice is the smell. Pine. Warm pine in the early sun. The resin heated gently by the light that finds its way through the canopy in long, slow columns, each one full of very small, very slowly moving dust that drifts in the stillness of the morning air and catches the light and means nothing at all except that it is a beautiful morning in a beautiful forest. The path from the park opens out through the trees. Your bicycle is ready. The tires are firm. The handlebars are the right height. You push off and the wheels find the smooth cycle path, and the sound the tires make on it is a clean, continuous hiss, a sound that will be with you for most of the morning, a sound so constant and so gentle that within a few minutes you have stopped hearing it the way that you stop hearing any sound that simply continues. The trees are close on either side of the path. At first, tall Scots pine, their lower branches gone, their trunks straight and reddish brown, the bark plaited and warm coloured, the canopy high above you and slightly open, letting the morning light through in shifting patches as it move across the path and your arms as the trees thin and thicken along the way. There is bird song. A wood pigeon in the high branches, unhurried, something smaller and quicker, a finch perhaps, moving through the understory, calling once and then silent. And beneath all of it, the soft percussion of your own movement, the rhythm of the pedals, the low sound of the wheels. You breathe in. Pine. Warm earth. Breathe out, and you cycle. The forest opens, the trees pull back, and the path continues out across the open Kempen countryside, and the landscape changes, and the sky gets bigger. This is the thing about cycling in the Kempen. The sky is always bigger than you expect, because the land is flat. And because there are no hills to interrupt the view, the sky here occupies the upper two-thirds of everything you see. A vast, pale, clear blue that today has barely a cloud in it. Just the faint, high wisps of something moving slowly far above the temperature where clouds form properly. Thin and white and utterly unhurried. Below the sky, the land unfolds, farmland mostly, fields of pale gold where the crops are being cut. setting sun and throwing it back as a warm amber gleam. Fields of deep green where sugar beet or potato grows in long, even rows, the rows so perfectly spaced that as you cycle past they flicker, past your eye in a steady rhythm, like the pages of a very slow book. Between the fields, trees stand in clusters along the boundaries, small woods and copses that break the flatness at irregular intervals. And here and there, a farmstead, a low whitewashed building behind a windbreak of poplars. The poplars tall and narrow and trembling very slightly in a wind too small to feel on your face. You're the only person on the path for a long stretch. It is Sunday. Sunday morning in the Belgian Kempen has a particular quality of stillness, not emptiness, not absence, but a kind of chosen quietness, the quietness of a day that has decided not to be in any particular hurry. The sun is warm on your back, not the burning warmth of high summer, but the generous, even warmth of a perfect cycling day, the kind of warmth that sits just below comfort, so that you can feel it without minding it. You pedal easily. The path is smooth. The gradient is nothing. The whole world is flat in every direction, and the church spire you can see ahead of you, in the middle distance, rising from the village of Akkel, just as it has been rising from this landscape since the earliest version of the church was recorded here in 1139, is getting very gradually, very pleasantly closer. Before the village there is the canal. The path finds it gradually, the way paths in flat country always find water, without drama, without announcement, simply arriving at it. The landscape shifting slightly at the edges, the trees changing character, the willows and alders that prefer wet ground appearing between the pines, their leaves a softer, paler green, their branches moving more readily in the lightest air. And then the path turns, and there it is beside you, the Bocholt Herentals Canal, wide and straight and perfectly still on the surface, the kind of stillness that only a canal has, a managed stillness. The water held between its engineered banks and going exactly where it has been directed, at exactly the pace it has been allowed. It stretches ahead of you and behind you in a long, clean line, the far bank fringed with reeds and low shrubs, the near bank, your side, carrying the cycle path, smooth and wide, and entirely yours. No cars, no junctions, no complications, just the path running flat beside the water, all the way to the horizon. You settle into it immediately. There is something about cycling alongside a canal that is different from cycling alongside a road, or through a forest, or across open farmland. The canal is peaceful in a particular way, a purposeful peace. It was built to move things, to carry barges between the Meuse and the Scheldt, connecting the rivers of this flat country across 60 kilometers of the Kempen, and it has been doing this steadily and without complaint since the 19th century. Now it also does this, holds the light on its surface, carries the reflection of the sky, gives the fishermen somewhere to sit, and runs alongside you, companionably, on a Sunday morning in the sun. The cycle path is entirely safe along here. That is one of the things you notice, and it is worth noticing, because it changes the quality of the ride. No cars to check for at junctions, no narrow stretches where you have to edge to one side, no decisions to make. The path is simply there, wide and smooth and flat, and all you have to do is follow it. The sound of your tires eyes on it is clean and steady. The sound of the canal beside you is close to nothing, a very faint lapping where a breath of air crosses the water, a small irregular sound, intermittent and easy. You stop thinking about cycling. That is the gift of a path like this, that at some point the body takes over, the legs turning at their own comfortable rate, the hands resting light on the bars, and the thinking part of you quietly and without fuss has nothing left to do. You are just here, moving, warm, beside the water. There is a fisherman. You see him before you reach him, set back from the path on the narrow strip of bank between the path and the water, settled into a low chair with the ease of someone who has been here since early morning and intends to be here for some time yet. His rod extends over the canal at a shallow angle, the line going out across the still surface, the float sitting motionless on the water, a small orange point of colour against the grey-green. He does not look up as you approach. He does not look up as you pass. He is watching the float with the kind of absolute attention that most people reserve for things that are actually moving. And the fact that the float is doing nothing does not seem to diminish the quality of his attention in the slightest. You pass him quietly. A little further along the path, another fisherman has set up a wider section of bank, two rods this time, angled out over the water at slightly different angles, the lines disappearing into the deeper channel, where the bigger fish apparently live on a Sunday morning in a Belgian Kempen canal. He nods as you pass. You nod back. This is the full extent of your interaction, and it is entirely sufficient. The canal stretches on. The path runs beside it, smooth and unhurried. The morning sun is on the water now at a higher angle than when you left the park, and what it does to the surface of the canal is to scatter it with light, small, shifting points of brightness that appear and vanish as the faintest movement crosses the water. A boat passing somewhere far upstream, a breath of air, a reed bending at the bank. On the far side of the canal, the tree line is reflected in the water, the dark green of the pines inverted and wavering, a second forest below the first, slightly less distinct, slightly more blue, moving very slowly as the reflections shift. You watch this while you cycle. There is nothing difficult about this stretch. There is nothing you need to navigate. You simply keep the canal on your right and the path beneath your wheels and let the morning continue at its own pace. The brasserie appears before the lock does. You see the terrace first, a scatter of tables and chairs beside the path, the umbrellas open against the morning sun, the whole scene carrying that very specific quality of a place that has found exactly the right position in the landscape and arranged itself accordingly. Brasserie Sluis 18. The lock is just beyond it. Sluis means sluice, means lock, and this one, number 18 on the canal, holds back a difference in water level of a little under 2 meters, the water higher on one side than the other, the wooden gate dark and heavy between them. The mechanism simple and old and entirely reliable. People are sitting at the terrace, not many. A handful of tables occupied, coffee cups, and a Sunday morning arrangement of people who have come here by bike or on foot and found, as you are finding now, that this is a very good place to be. The canal catches the light beyond the terrace. The lock gate is reflected in the dark, still water. The trees on the far bank lean very slightly towards the water. as trees near water always do, drawn by some slow arboreal instinct toward the moisture. You slow as you pass. The people at the tables are in no hurry. That is the overwhelming impression. An older couple with coffees, not talking, just sitting in the warmth with the ease of people for whom this kind of morning has become a reliable pleasure. A woman at the edge of the terrace, facing the canal, who may be reading something or may simply be looking at the water. It is difficult to tell. It does not matter. A dog under one of the tables, asleep with the thoroughness of a dog that has long ago made its peace with the fact that bicycle rides end here and the sun is warm and the ground is flat. You do not stop, but you carry the scene with you as you pass. That quality of the morning, of the canal and the lock and the terrace, and the people who have correctly identified that this is exactly where they should be. And then the bridge. Just beyond the lock, the path rises to cross the canal, and after so much flat, the gradient is immediately, pleasantly noticeable. Your legs registering it with mild surprise, the pedals requiring just a little more from you than the flat path has asked for all morning. You change gear. You rise. The lock gate is below you and to one side, and from the apex of the bridge, the canal is visible in both directions, a long, straight line of water and light running north and south through the flat Kempen landscape, the tree-fringed banks receding toward the horizon in each direction, the surface of it bright and still, holding the sky. You pause at the top for a moment. North, the canal runs back the way you came. South, it continues toward Bocholt and eventually Herentals. 60 kilometers of managed water moving quietly through this landscape on a route that has been here since the canal was opened. Older now than anyone alive, so settled into the landscape that it no longer looks built. Just there. The way rivers look, the way everything that has been somewhere long enough eventually looks. You breathe in. The canal air. The warmth. The light on the water below. Then you descend the other side, and the flat returns, and the path continues, and Ockel comes toward you through the morning at exactly the pace you are cycling. The edge of Amont Ockel arrives the way villages in the Kempen always arrive. Gradually, first the houses become closer together along the road, then the gardens become smaller, then the curbs appear, and the pavement, and the occasional parked car, and the sound of the wheels changes slightly as the path surface changes beneath you. You slow. The street is quiet in the Sunday way. A man is washing a car in a driveway, his movements slow and methodical. The sponge moving in long circles over the bonnet, the car gleaming where he has already been. He does not look up. A woman at a window on the upper floor of a terrace is tending a geranium in a window box, her hands working carefully among the stems. A child on a bicycle much smaller than yours navigates the pavement ahead of you with intense concentration, wobbling very slightly on the corners, recovering, continuing. This is a Sunday morning in a small Belgian Limburg town. Nothing is urgent. Everything is itself. The St. Monolphus on Gondolfuskerk sits at the heart of Ockel, a neo-Gothic church rebuilt between 1907 and 1909, its stone facade the colour of pale sand in the morning light, the lines of it rising cleanly went to the pointed arches and the tower that you could see from the farmland a kilometer away. You stop your bicycle at the edge of the small square in front of it. The church is dedicated to two saints, Monolfus and Gondulfus, who were bishops of Maastricht around the year 550 AD. The first mention of a church on this site was written down in 1139, which means the idea of this place, the idea of this particular ground being sacred, has been continuous here for nearly 900 years. You stand in front of it for a moment. It is the kind of church that asks nothing of you. It simply stands, as it has been standing, as it will go on standing. The Sunday morning light good to it. It falls on the stone, a low angle that deepens the texture of the masonry. The individual stones visible in the sunlight, the mortar between them casting thin shadows. The whole surface of the facade alive with a very quiet kind of detail. A bell does not ring. The morning is past the hour for bells, but you can feel the residue of them somehow. The sense that this place has been holding the sound of bells for a very long time, and that some trace of that remains in the stone, in the air, in the quality of the quiet around the building. A cat crosses the square in front of you, unhurried, moving between patches of sun and shade with the complete indifference of a creature that has not been told that any of this is interesting. You watch it until it disappears around the corner of the church. Then you look back at the church, and then, slowly, you collect your bicycle, and you continue. The ride from Arcol toward the border takes you through the quieter northern edge of the municipality, where the houses thin again, and the fields return, and the path stretches ahead of you between low hedgerows, the farmland on either side, open and pale and calm. The sun is higher now than when you started, the shadows shorter, the warmth settling more evenly over the landscape, and the air on your face as you cycle carries a faint sweetness from somewhere, clover perhaps, or the border country wildflowers that grow in the verges of the Kempen paths, small and pale, and very good at being quietly here. You are thinking about almost nothing. That is one of the gifts of flat cycling on a warm Sunday. The effort required is so slight, the rhythm so regular, the landscape so spacious, that the thinking mind gradually runs out of things to grip and simply rests, and what is left is just this: the path, the sun, the sound of the wheels, the warmth, and then, ahead, the border. You see it before you reach it, a straight road running north, and on either side of it houses. That is what stops you for a moment, before you even cross, the houses. Because on the left side of the road, the houses are Belgian, and on the right side of the road, the houses are Dutch, and the road between them is about 6 meters wide. You cycle forward slowly. The border marker is there, not a great edifice, not a ceremony, a simple sign at the edge of the road, a low metal barrier raised permanently upward, its function as a checkpoint long since abandoned, kept now perhaps only as a reminder that this line once meant something official, that people once stopped here, that papers were checked. Now it is just a raised arm above a road, and you cycle under it without slowing, and you are in the Netherlands. You stop on the other side and look back. Belgium is right there, just behind you, 5 meters behind you. The same road, the same tarmac, the same sky, and yet you notice it immediately in the same way you noticed it on the bus to Vals. Some quality of the place changing. The road signs are different. Dutch signs now. Their typeface slightly different from the Belgian ones. Their colour coding its own particular system. The houses on the Dutch side of the road are different too. Subtler than you might have expected, but real. A different proportion to the windows, perhaps. A different palette of brick. More orange-red than the darker, cooler tones on the Belgian side. The gardens are arranged with a slightly different sensibility, a certain Dutch neatness and orderliness, the borders between lawn and flower bed very clearly defined, and your phone buzzes once in your pocket. The network has changed, without drama, without announcement. You crossed a line 6 meters wide and a different country's signal found your phone. You look at the road. One side, Belgium. One side, Netherlands. And people live here. Both sides. Their houses facing each other across 6 meters of tarmac. Their letterboxes a few steps apart. Their national identities different from their geography. From their neighbours. From the simple daily fact of living on the same ordinary street. You think about this for a moment. It is one of those things that does not get less interesting the longer you think about it. Then you cycle on into Budel. Budel is a village in the municipality of Kranendonk in the Dutch province of North Brabant. And it has been a village since at least the year 779, when it was recorded as Budelio, meaning in the old tongue, a place with houses. It is still very much a place with houses. A proper, modest, quietly going about its business Dutch village, with a church and a square, and a few streets of brick terraces, and the particular stillness of a Dutch Sunday morning that is slightly different from the Belgian Sunday stillness, as if the same instruction to be quiet has been interpreted in slightly different ways by two neighbouring cultures. You cycle into the centre slowly. The square is not busy, but it is not empty. There are a handful of cafe tables on the pavement outside a small place with its doors open to the sun, and the people at those tables are doing the thing that people at cafe tables on Sunday mornings do, which is absolutely nothing, in a very accomplished way. Coffee cups, a newspaper, not being read, a dog under a chair, the sound of voices at a comfortable murmur. You lock your bicycle. The Ons Lieve Vrouw Visitatiekerk stands near the centre of the village. Our Lady of the Visitation. It was built between 1904 and 1912, designed by the architect C. Franzen. A neo-Gothic church of three aisles, with a tower at its front, whose octagonal spire rises to a gilded ball and cross that catches the light this morning in a precise, small glint above the rooftops. It is a national monument, this church, quiet with that weight, the weight of preservation, of a building that has been decided to matter. You stand in front of it. The stone is a warm grey-cream. The arched windows are high and narrow in the Gothic way, and where the light falls on the stone this morning, it picks out the texture of it. The individual grains of the carved detail, the delicate stonework at the tops of the arches. A Dutch Sunday is in the air around you. Somewhere on the far side of the square, a bell rings. One, two, three times, each stroke clear and round, each one settling into the still air before the next arrives. Three times, and then silence. standing in front of a church that has been here for over 100 years, in a village that has been here since 779, on a Sunday morning in the sun, with absolutely nothing you need to do except be here. You find a patch of grass, not far from the church, on the edge of a small park, where a few trees provide shade at one end, and the sun reaches everything else. You sit down. Your bag comes off your back. You open it. The picnic is simple. It is always the simple things. Eaten outside, in the sun, after a little bit of effort. That tastes exactly right. You eat slowly. The grass is warm under your hands. The trees above you move very slightly. A slow, easy movement. The leaves catching the breeze and releasing it and catching it again. The sound of the village drifts across to you. The cafe murmur. The occasional car unhurried. The pigeons doing their low domestic cooing from a rooftop somewhere out of sight. You are not in Belgium now. Or not entirely. You are in a different country that is close enough to smell the same. Feel the same sun, hear the same birds, but different, subtly, persistently, interestingly different. You lie back in the grass for a moment, just a moment. The sky above you is very blue. The tops of the trees are very green against that blue. The gilded cross on the church spire is a small, distant point of light at the very edge of your vision. You close your eyes. The warmth is on your face. You breathe in. Boodle. You breathe out. The ride back is different from the ride out. That is always true. The return journey is the same route seen from the other direction. And because you have been somewhere now, because you have stopped and sat and eaten and stood in front of two churches and crossed a border, and felt the Sunday of two countries, the return has a different quality, a looseness, a sense of completion beginning. The border comes again. You cross it, going the other way. Belgium receives you without comment. The sign is different on this side. Your phone buzzes once. The road marking shift. You are back. And the Kempen is the same Kempen. The farmland, the same farmland, the path, the same path, and yet something in the way you see it has been gently rearranged by the fact of having left it and returned. You cycle through the afternoon. The sun is behind you now, lower than it was, its light coming in at a long angle that makes every shadow longer and turns the pale stubble fields to gold. The bridge comes again. The water is still there, still moving. The heron is gone, or has moved, or was never the same heron twice. You cross over. You descend. The flat continues. The bar is near the park. It is the kind of bar that announces itself quietly. A blackboard outside. A door that is already open. The sound of low music from inside, something that suits the theme, the particular atmosphere of a place that has decided it wants to be somewhere slightly different from ordinary and has managed it without trying too hard. The theme is Peaky Blinders. The setting is Belgian Kempen. The result is unexpectedly right. The dark wood interior and the dim warm light. A perfect companion to the end of a day's cycling, which always deserves something cold and something quiet and somewhere to sit down. You sit down. The cold beer arrives in a glass that has been waiting in a refrigerator and is now sweating gently in the warm air. You lift it. You drink. Cold. That first long cold sip after a morning of cycling. And sun and movement is one of the more complete places. pleasures available to a body that has earned it. You set the glass down. You look around at the bar, at the photographs on the walls, at the low lighting, at the other people in here, a few of them each occupied in their own small way, no one in any particular hurry. Outside, through the open door, the afternoon light is golden on the path back through the forest. You are nearly home, nearly back to the park, nearly to the end of what has been, quietly, a very good Sunday. The final stretch through the forest is the same stretch you rode this morning, the same pine trees, the same dappled path, the same bird song from the high canopy. But the light is different now. The morning light was cool and full. The afternoon light is long and golden, coming through the trees at an angle that turns the bark of the pine trunks from reddish brown to something almost copper. The forest floor, a patchwork of amber and deep shade, each column of late sun filled with that same slow drift of dust that was there this morning, patient and unmoving, doing nothing, asking nothing. The tires hiss on the path. You have been to two countries today. You have stood on a border 6 meters wide. You have watched a heron fish. You have sat in front of two churches on a Sunday morning and let the bells arrive and depart without needing to do anything about them. You have eaten something simple in a patch of Dutch grass under a blue sky. You have had a cold beer in a bar that could not quite decide which century it belonged to, and was better for it. The forest closes around you again. The park is just ahead. Later, you are still, warm, somewhere comfortable. The cycling is over, and the day has settled into you, all the flat kilometers of it, all the quiet, all the warmth. In the dark behind your eyes, the path is still there, smooth and pale between the pine trees. The sound of the tires, the smell of the morning, the heron, perfectly still in the amber water, waiting. The border, 6 meters of ordinary road, a raised barrier, two countries, one street, the bells above Buddle, 1, 2, 3, settling into the Sunday air, the gilded cross on the church spire, a small distant glint. These things drift through, slowly, one after another, like the flat landscape itself, drifting past from the saddle of a bicycle on a warm and unhurried Sunday morning. The farmland, the pale gold of the stubble, the green rows turning as you pass them, the warmth on your back, the sound of the wheels hissing, constant. The pine forest at the beginning, the pine forest at the end, the same forest seen differently. Belgium, then the Netherlands, then Belgium again, the same sky over all of it. And now, as everything grows quieter, and the path fades gently into something softer, and the two countries settle beneath their shared Sunday sky, and the bells are long finished now, and your thoughts begin to soften at their edges, you can stay here, on the flat Kempen path, in the warm between the pine trees, or drift somewhere deeper still, knowing the heron is still there on the river, knowing the border is still just a road, knowing the gilded cross is still catching the light above Boodle, and everything is still, and there is nothing left to do, and nowhere else you need